You're listening to a message from Gateway Church Geelong. We hope it blesses you. For more information about Gateway, visit gc.org.au.
Good morning. It is so good to be here with you. And if you're listening online at this time or at a later time, it's so good to be a part of your journey in seeing God's truth activated in your life. This morning, I want to speak about opinions that matter. There are many opinions, as we know, out there. In fact, all of us have opinions about something. And some will be based in truth and some will not be based in truth. Through the media, we are bombarded with opinions. We are bombarded with ideas, values and beliefs from various people and various people's groups. And it could be the person next door or it could be a leader of nations. Opinions are very powerful, so much so that lawmakers and judges can actually adjust laws that reflect people's opinions about many issues, which in turn can affect potentially how we interact with one another. So what are opinions? What is the definition of opinions? The psychological definition is an attitude, belief, or judgment. The dictionary definition is a view or judgment formed about something, not necessarily based on fact or knowledge. And the biblical definition is a personal belief or judgment that is not founded on proof or certainty. So here are some examples of my opinions. I prefer butter to margarine. I still think Adelaide is a great city. And of course, I think Port Power is the best football team. And in my opinion, peanut butter and beetroot sandwiches are delicious. And that I can sing. Now, right away, I could give you a sample right now, but I'll... Yeah. Right away, some of you may be thinking, some of your opinions are definitely not based on truth. Opinions can help or hinder us. Opinions can sway our actions and our beliefs. Opinions can keep us locked into things or situations that are not of benefit to our lives. But then there are opinions that lead us into the truth of God's word that sets us free. We need to be open to change our opinions if they are not based on God's word or truth. If we have an opinion of ourselves that is not favorable, then we need to counteract that opinion with God's truth. Why? Because our opinions can actually hijack our happiness and our progress, but His truth, as we apply it and talk over those wrong opinions and apply His truth, will lead us into freedom. You know, in my early 20s, I had the opinion that God had favourites. When I was a child growing up, I felt like my sister was the favourite in our family. And I brought that opinion over into adulthood. And I then actually imposed that opinion onto God. What happens when we oppose our opinions onto God? We make Him out to be something that He was never meant to be. Sometimes this allows us to hold on to this opinion and not really analyze and go, is this actually the truth for my life? Now, was that true that God had favorites? No, it is not true. I was hoping to hear an emphatic yes or no on that. But I thank you, I thank the Holy Spirit. I really honour the Holy Spirit that in my journey, in my early 20s, He showed me the revelation of God's truth that He does not have favourites. In fact, I am the apple of His eye. You are the apple of His eye. And that opinion was changed into God's truth that led me into freedom, which is what can happen because of God's truth and as we apply it to our lives. You know, maybe for some of you, you actually have had the revelation of God's truth. Can you remember when you had an opinion and then allow God to lead you into His truth? Can you remember the relief it brought to you, the freedom? for some, if you still are wanting this revelation of truth, like me, ask Holy Spirit to help you and God will show you his truth. And as you apply his truth, it'll lead you into that freedom and that relief that you're looking for. You know, opinions, a view or a judgment that is formed about something, not necessarily based on fact or knowledge. You know, many people had opinions of Jesus, and not all were favourable. So much so that they would try and trip him up on purpose in front of a crowd that was already full of opinions. Jesus brought challenge to their opinions, and they didn't like it, and that's why they tried to silence him. By challenging him in front of a crowd, they were hoping that the crowd would also then back them up and begin to have the wrong opinion about Jesus. But thank goodness he knew the intent of their heart and did not fall into their traps, their word games. They were pretended that they were on his side, but their intent was to discredit him in front of the crowd. And in Matthew 22, 15 to 22, it says this, "Then the Pharisees went out and laid plans to trap him in his words. They sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians. 'Teacher,' they said, 'we know that you are a man of integrity and that you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. You aren't swayed by others because you pay no attention to who they are. Tell us then, what is your opinion? Is it right to pay the imperial tax to Caesar or not?' But Jesus, knowing their evil intent, said, 'You hypocrites, why are you trying to trap me? Show me the coin used for paying the tax.' They brought him a denarius, and he asked them, 'Whose image is this? And whose inscription?' 'Caesar's,' they replied. Then he said to them, 'So give back to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's.' When they heard this, they were amazed, so they left him and went away." Jesus challenged their opinions, and I hope it transformed their lives. And Jesus challenges our opinions because he wants our lives to be transformed by his truth and leading us into all his truth that he has for us. In Proverbs 18:2, it says this, "Fools find no pleasure in understanding, but delight in airing their own opinions." If you are not sure if your opinions are beneficial or not, then use this scripture to measure your opinions against what you are thinking and saying to yourself or others. This is the scripture. Don't worry, I don't think you're a fool. Philippians 4:8. "And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true, what is honorable, what is right, and what is pure and lovely and admirable. Think about these things that are excellent and worthy of praise." You know, it is an ongoing process. So be open to finding and understanding and finding truth from the Word of God. So I want to look at a man in the Bible called blind Bartimaeus. And we find about his account in Luke 18, 35 to 37. And it says this, "Then it happened that as he, Jesus, was coming near Jericho, that a certain blind man sat by the road begging. And hearing a multitude passing by, he asked, 'What does it mean?' So they told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by." So who was this man? Who was blind Bartimaeus? Well, we know that he was a beggar and his situation would have been very hard. And for him to earn a living, he had to sit by the side of the road begging. And that was what he had learnt to do to survive. He would rely on the passing of people and hopefully their charity to get by. He had a condition he couldn't change. He was blind. He sat while everyone else was moving. Everyone was passing him by, but he was stuck. Stuck off the side of the road, relying on the goodwill of others. He was close enough to hear what was going on around him, but stuck and unable to participate, picking up snippets of what people were saying. Stuck. He was stuck. People only saw him as blind and potentially not worth much consideration except to throw him a few coins his way. You know, people's conditions and their opinions can cause them to be stuck or cause a roadblock where they struggle to know which way to turn or which way to go. Have you ever felt like that? Stuck. Maybe someone's opinion on you has felt like it sidelined you. Maybe you didn't get the position that you know that was yours. Maybe your own opinion has caused you to feel stuck. Stuck in one place and unable to move on. Stuck because of your condition and people's opinions, struggling to know which direction to go. Surviving because you have had to, but it's not really where you want to be. Doing what you can to survive, even though you have heard there is more out there for you. It's not a great experience, feeling like you are sidelined or stuck. You can feel powerless to get up and move. But this morning, I want you to know that that can change today. The power of God is here to bring change to people's situations. The power of God is here to bring change to people's opinions. The power of God is here to bring people from a place of feeling stuck and sidelined to moving again to where God wants them to be. You no longer need to feel powerless because the power of God is here to bring transformation to your life. Blind Bartimaeus, he had a cloak. The cloak was significant because it would cover him and offer protection. He would use it for sleeping at night to keep him warm on those cold nights. And he could use it to place it in front of him so that when people were passing by, that's what they would throw their money or their charity or their alms into, and then he would be able to scoop it up. Because if you can imagine the situation, him by the side of the road with a lot of people passing by and people chucking things, you know, he was blind. He wouldn't be able to see if it went too far away for him. So he used his cloak so that it was just in front of him and they would see that and be able to chuck what was needed into there for him. And then he didn't have to try and scurry around for it later on. So his cloak was really important to him, to his profession. And he would bring him comfort, but it couldn't cure him. It would bring him comfort, but it couldn't cure him. He didn't have much, but he had his cloak. And it was probably government-issued one that allowed him to beg, and it confirmed his identity as a beggar. It was a covering. It was comfort, but it didn't cure him. And with this cloak, he relied on the contributions of others. Do you wonder what they would have given him? Besides perhaps alms, was there other things that they might have given him? Opinions and advice. Things that didn't really change his situation. We can all give opinions and advice, but it doesn't necessarily mean it changes people's situations. But when we bring the Word of God and the truth of God's Word into a situation, we can trust that God's Word can bring change, can bring peace, can bring comfort, can bring protection, and can bring transformation power into someone's situation. You know, are there garments we have that offer protection and cover us, but they can't cure? Things that we may use for self-protection. We may have used things that have covered us what can't be cured, things that bring comfort and help us to survive. You know, sometimes we already know what those things may be, but when we know it's out of balance, then we know, okay, something may not be right here. And is it really worth holding on to if it's causing ourselves pain and maybe causing our family pain? It might be causing our friends pain. And it's those self-protection things that we use. It won't cure, but it will comfort. But I'm here to tell you again that the power of God is here to bring transformation to your situation. So here was blind Bartimaeus, who had developed a way of surviving, making the best of his situation due to a condition he could not change. A condition he had no answer for, and what he had put into place to cope and keep going. Until one day. On this day, Bartimaeus had heard that Jesus was passing by. He heard the commotion, so he asked the crowd that was passing by, "What is happening?" They told him, "Jesus is passing by." Jesus is passing by. What does that mean? It actually has two meanings. The first one is to move in almost any manner, to go to, proceed from one place to another. And the second meaning is to move from one state to another, to alter or change or to be changed in condition. Jesus was passing by. In the natural, he was going from one place to another. For Jesus to pass by is not for him to walk past us in hiding. Rather, it is for him to reveal himself to us, and he wants us to respond and respond in faith. In the supernatural, there was an opportunity for Bartimaeus to be changed from one condition to another, from being blind to having his sight restored. But not only that, his opinion of himself would be completely changed. Jesus passing by was going to cause him to see and do life differently. No longer sidelined, no longer stuck, but now a man of direction, a man of purpose, and a man of faith. Not only was he being restored in sight, but he was being restored in his opinion and how he had seen himself for all those years. That's what God does when he passes by us. He brings change. He brings his transformation power to set us free. And we move from one condition to another by his truth, because it sets us free. Have you experienced that in your life? Jesus was passing him by. He must have heard about him and what he could do. So what was his response to this news? In Mark 10, 47 to 48, it says this: "And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me.' Then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, 'Son of David, have mercy on me.'" Bartimaeus had an opinion of Jesus, one that caused him to shout out in faith, caused him to call out, caused him to persist with his yelling, "Jesus, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." People in the crowd had opinion of him yelling out, and they let him know about it. "Be quiet. This is not the time or place. Shush, you need to be quiet. You are embarrassing yourself. Be quiet." But I could imagine him saying, "I'm not concerned about your opinion right now. I need a miracle. Jesus is passing by. I need a miracle. I'm not concerned with your opinions right now. I don't care how I look. I need a miracle. I will not be silent. I need a miracle from God this morning, and I will not be silent. I will not hold back. I'm going to yell all the more, 'Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me.'" So he yelled out and he persisted, because he was so desperate for a miracle. He was so desperate for his condition to be changed from one to another. No longer being blind, but being a man of sight. No longer sitting by the side of the road being sidelined and being stuck, but moving in the direction that God had for him. No longer relying on the benefits of others, the charity of others, but now standing up as a man of faith, being able to provide. If he had a family, being able to provide for his family in a different way. That is the God we serve. He changes our opinions. He changes it so that it lines up with his truth, the truth that is our freedom and sets us free this morning. So what does it look like for Jesus passing us by? You know, you might be by yourself, you might be in a meeting, or you might be with friends. And that might be a time of prayer or an altar call, or where the conversation begins to change. Or you might be having your own quiet time, and you know that there is an opportunity and that there needs to be a response from you to God. But that's when distractions can try and get in the way. We can hear the crowd, the opinions from the crowd, or our own voice. What are we going to do? We can go two ways. We can respond to God, or we can hold back. We can allow the crowd to silence us, or we silence the crowd. We allow opinions, what would people think, to hold us back, or we push through. We allow embarrassment or fear to get in the way, or maybe it's just too challenging to respond, or we push through. I'm sure we've all had moments, and I know I can speak for myself, when we've held back from responding to the opportunity that has come our way. But remember this morning that God is gracious and merciful and loving towards us. You know, I remember going to a Students for Christ meeting when I was a teenager. Bear in mind, I was a teenager. I was at uni, obviously. I think it was first or second year uni. And at that particular day we had, I think he was either the national president for Students for Christ or the South Australian president. I can't quite remember. But he was there, and he at the end of him speaking, he said, okay, let's have a time of prayer. If anyone feels to come up and pray, please come out. And as soon as he said that, oh, my heart started thumping so hard. And I just knew in my spirit that I had to go forward. But, you know, that's one of those decision times. Do I now respond to God or do I now hold back? And the good news is I did actually get up there and respond. And I prayed in my Pentecostal fervor. And I was loud and I was fervent, but obviously really determined to see God move in people's hearts and lives. And then I didn't realize this, but after we'd finished, I went out to the bathroom and I then got a look of myself in the mirror and went, oh my goodness, like my face was completely red. I'd broken the capillaries above my eyes because I'd been praying so hard and in earnest. And then I was told after the fact that apparently other people in other lecture theatres had come out to think, what's all this noise about? Well, as you can imagine, me being someone who doesn't like attention on myself and probably being 18 or 19, made the decision because I thought, what are people going to think about me? And I allowed what I thought their opinions might be of me, and I never went back to another Students for Christ meeting. But let me say, there is still a good ending to this story, because God, in his graciousness and his loving, tender mercy, when I was doing third year Bible college and it was a year of practical, it was one of those really, really supernatural times where I happened to be sitting next to the guy who was running Students for Christ for South Australia, and I never sat next to him in church. This one particular time I did, we started talking, and then I ended up doing my third year practical with Students for Christ. And I was able then to say what I could say and not be embarrassed. But thank you, Lord, that he never leaves us where we are. He never allowed me to stay in that opinion, but he allowed me by passing by my condition and my opinions to be changed and brought into under his truth for my heart and my life. And I just want to honour Holy Spirit for that. Is there something that is making you call out to Jesus this morning? Jesus, I need your help. It might be a situation that is causing you unrest or distress, and it feels like the waves are tossing you to and fro. A wrong opinion may have caused you to feel like you're sidelined. Sickness that may be ongoing, or something that you've just found out about. Or it might be something in your relationship that is causing you pain and you're not sure what step to take next. You know, there was a woman with the issue of blood, as we know, as we may have heard about, and she was unwell for many years and had seen many doctors and tried so many so-called cures. Then one day she heard about Jesus was passing by, and she did not allow the opinions of the society and the crowd to stop her from reaching out and touching the hem of Jesus' garment. She seized the opportunity that came her way, and her condition was completely changed. She was no longer an outcast, no longer sidelined, no longer stuck, but she was healed and set free. And that is what Jesus does for us. When Jesus passes by, when his presence passes by, when his goodness passes by, when his truth passes by, there is an opportunity for change. There is an opportunity for deliverance. There is opportunity for a miracle. And it is passing by. So what happened with all this yelling by Bartimaeus? Jesus stood still. Bartimaeus had got God's attention from passing by to standing still. Jesus stopped and called Bartimaeus over to him. You know, some of those same people that had told him to shush now led him to Jesus. They had the opinion that he needed to shush. Now they were taking him to Jesus. Their opinion was nullified and silenced by Jesus, and their hindrance became an aid to Jesus. Let me say that again. Their opinion was nullified and silenced by Jesus, and their hindrance became an aid. Not only was Bartimaeus changed, so were the people. Their opinions would have been challenged, and there was an opportunity for them, for their opinions to become truth. When Jesus passes by, everyone has the opportunity to experience change and revelation and truth, because he can silence the waves if we're experiencing uncertainty, knowing a decision might have to be made. He can silence the fears that we may be experiencing, fear of failure or fear of stepping out like me. Jesus can silence our opinions with his truth, opinions that may hinder our growth, And Jesus can silence the voice of the enemy when he tries to bombard us with his lies or tries to sideline us or silence us. And in Mark 10:50 it says this, "And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus." I'm not letting this opportunity pass me by. I don't want to miss it. I don't want to resist it. Moments of true deliverance pass by. They don't stay, and I'm not going to miss it. I'm not going to procrastinate, and I'm not going to allow an opinion to stop me from reaching out to Jesus. So throwing aside his garment, his cloak that defined him, his cloak that had been his means to an end, his cloak that had been his protection and his covering, he threw away his cloak. He abandoned it. The thing that had defined him, he now abandoned. Maybe the one thing that he had, but he threw it aside. "You can't help me anymore. You can't provide for me anymore." So he rose and came to Jesus. He was so sure God would heal him, and he was healed, and he received his sight and followed Jesus. "I may have certain opinions on God and what he does and what he can do for me. I'm casting aside all opinions and going to Jesus." The opinion that he held of Jesus outweighed the opinion he had of his cloak. No matter how important that cloak was to him, Jesus was more important. No matter the protection, Jesus was the greatest source of protection. No matter the comfort, Jesus was the greatest source of comfort. No matter that it was a source of income or security, Jesus was now his security. Jesus does hear us and stops to minister to us. Bartimaeus' life was transformed by his encounter with Jesus. He had to throw something away to experience this. The opinion he had of Jesus was confirmed. He is the Son of God, and he does perform miracles. His opinion of himself was completely transformed. He no longer was a blind beggar who was stuck and sidelined, but he was now a man of faith who had direction. Not only did he grow, but he was able to go. He was led into truth and freedom. The woman with the issue, her sickness, her life was transformed by the passing of Jesus. She had to put aside the opinions of the crowd because she was not meant to be there and reach out to Jesus. Her opinion of herself was completely transformed. No longer a woman with an issue, but a woman of faith. She was led into truth and freedom. Mark 10, verse 50. "And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus." Throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. Is there something that we need to throw aside to get to Jesus? An opinion that may have held us back. Opinions that may have caused us to feel stuck or sidelined. Remember, God always makes a way in the desert. And Isaiah 41:10 says, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." This morning, our opinions can be transformed by the power of God's word and his truth. We can move from one condition to another because the power of God is in this place. It's the God that we love and serve. So I just want to pray for you this morning. Lord God, we just thank you that we've been able to come around your truth, your word that transforms and brings freedom and life to our situations, to our relationships, to our workplaces. Lord God, I'm so glad that you change our conditions so that we can grow and go in you. And we just thank you that your presence is with us. We thank you that you are a supernatural God, and your power, your mighty power, is here to bring transformation to our situations in the name of Jesus. And we just choose this morning, right now, to throw aside and call out to you, because you are our Savior, you are our Redeemer, and we praise and honor your name in the name of Jesus. Amen. This morning, is there something that God is speaking to you about needing to throw aside and to reach out to him? Maybe it's an opinion that has held you back. Maybe something that has caused you to feel stuck and sidelined. I'm just going to have this moment now of reflection so you can have that conversation, if you need to, with Holy Spirit.